Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And this Christmas edition of the Growing the Game podcast brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. Well, today's guest, and we only have one guest today in this Christmas edition of the Growing the Game with Ballsy podcast. It is Craig Smith, longtime scout in the Canadian Football League. Of course, he was with the Saskatchewan Roughriders for an extended period of time, winning a Grey Cup championship here. And with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers most recently, he's battling cancer in a Regina hospital, and I caught up with him earlier this week. All right, speaking with former Rough Rider scout, current Bomber talent evaluator, that'd be Craig Smith. How are you, Craig?
Well, I'm doing well.
Yeah.
In the hospital, you know, obviously I'm battling a little bit of cancer, but hey, you know what? It's full speed ahead.
Yeah, let's start with that, Craig, because we could talk about football anytime. Let's talk about your health and where you are in the process of recovering from that terrible illness.
Yeah, absolutely. I have leukemia, and this is my second cycle of chemo. And the real good thing, the first cycle put me into remission. This one is kind of, they call it a consolidation chemo, and it cleans things up. And then in January, I'll have to have a bone marrow transplant. So I'll be on the injured list for a bit. But, you know, I've got support from, it's incredible. I've got support from both sides of the border in the football community, NFL, CFL. NCAA, CIS, friends, relatives, it's incredible. And I'll tell you something, it's amazing how much social media has helped me, you know, just seeing all the support and all the positive vibes that I get from that. It's fantastic.
Craig Smith joining me here on Growing the Game podcast. I wanted to ask you that. What has this situation taught you? What has it taught you?
It's an incredible learning experience. Obviously, the plan is to come out healthy, but there sure are a lot of, you know, they bombard you with a lot of the things that can happen with all this stuff, side effects and things like that. I did have a little bit of trouble. I had an infection with my first, and blood pressure went down, called Kathy in. It was, you know, there things happen, and, you know, the big thing is going to be the bone marrow transplant and, you know, how it reacts to your body. It's like, you know, you're getting somebody else's stem cells, and it either works or it doesn't. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, the big thing, there's a couple things. Never take anything for granted. You know, I'll never do that again. I might have been getting into a rut. And you know how that goes. You know, mm-hmm. I've been in the league for 19 years, and I'll tell you something. I come out of this healthy. I'll be the same kind of guy, and I think I'll be a little more generous. I've always been a generous person and try to treat people the way they should be. I come out of this, it's going to be even better. But you certainly learn a lot. You get humbled, I'm looking forward to getting out of this and getting back and doing what I do, what I love.
You talk about, you know, maybe you want to single one or two people out. You talk about having a lot of people in the football community, Craig, get behind you. Was there somebody that reached out to you that you were surprised they reached out to you? And you're like, wow, that's really neat, or that makes me feel good, kind of prop your spirits up.
Well, yeah, you know, you always think you have friends, but when you get guys like Richie Hall and Dress and Getz coming to your, you know, your bedside here, it's a phenomenal thing. You know, these guys are legends in our game in our Canadian Football League, which obviously I love, and for guys to go like that. But it's not just those guys; it's friends. It's, you know, a lot of the writer community, like, you know, people who I've dealt with, you know, the accountant, you know, the business officer, receptionist, people are coming over to see me and giving me some love, and you know how it's incredible for them to come in and to, you know, a couple people brought me some baking yesterday and chocolates, and there's going to be an Ottawa Red Blacks guy coming to see me, Joey Swarbrook, who's a mm-hmm. kid from Regina. He's going to come and see me this afternoon. Yesterday I had four people. I mean, it's just great to get all that love. And then, of course, my wife is Kathy. She's just been unbelievable. And like I said, hopefully I can come out of this healthy and try to repay her. There's people like Adam Rita who gave me my break. There's no way I could repeat him or give him You know, what he did for me, there's no way I could repay him. And just same with my wife, all the stuff that she's done for me, it's incredible. Just an amazing, amazing lady. And, you know, I'll try my damnedest to try to repay her back as much as I can once I get out.
Craig Smith of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers joining us here, one of their scouts here, and, of course, a former scout with the Saskatchewan Roughriders helping build this team towards a Grey Cup championship. Craig, you mentioned Joey, former Regina Ram. Take us back on your trail. How did you get into this wacky world of scouting?
Well, I wanted to be a coach, and it's funny. I was sitting on my fat butt in the computer room at the University of British Columbia in 1990, and it said that they wanted football coaches at the Westside Warriors, which is just down the road from us at the University of British Columbia. And so I answered the ad, and they said, "Well, we got an opening for peewee coaches," and I went peewee. So I kind of wanted to, you know, coach the older guys. He says, "Well, why don't you come out and try it?" Well, I'll tell you, July 1st, 1990 changed my life because I went out there and I went with the peewee kids, and I just loved it. And I coached actually, I think it was 4 years of peewee football out there. Mm-hmm. You know, was an assistant coach for the first 2 years, then became a head coach, and you know. And to this day, I'm friends with some of those kids that I coached. They're all in their 30s now and got kids, and it's incredible. One of the kids was actually drafted. He was his name was Trevor Kine. He was drafted with the Ottawa Renegades, I think it was back then. And you know, when he was 12 years old, he was taller than me, and he played with Buck Pierce down in New Mexico State, mm-hmm. which was kind of cool. Buck and him are still friends, but I just loved it, and I went down to the University of Washington. You know, I went to a clinic down there, and they said, if you want to come down and, you know, just watch film or something like that, do it. So I called, and I went down there, and I got into one of the offices, and the secretary gave me a machine. I was an offensive coach. I went into the offensive coordinator's office, and she gave me a cowboy, sat me down, and I sat there, and I looked, and I was in this office, and I went, man, I'd sure like to have this. And, you know, it's funny, you know, I just kept on working and I moved up. I went from peewee. I went to bantam football with the 14, 15-year-olds. Then I coached high school for a year. Then I coached at UBC. We won a Vanier Cup in 97 and then got asked to be a guest coach. Adam Rita and Pow Pow asked me to be a guest coach in 1999. So I went from the peewees to the pros in 11 years. And then, of course, I was the offensive assistant quality control, and I helped with the receivers the year we won the Grey Cup in 1990. So it was quite a rise, but I tell you, it was a lot of hard work, and I met and worked with some fantastic people, guys like Danny Barrett and Joe Pow Pow and Adam Rita and Steve Barato, and you know, and then I, of course in 2001, Adam, he knew that I had called him in about 97 and asked him, how do you get into personnel? Mm-hmm. And Adam, he put that in the back of his mind. We won the Grey Cup, and he said, he didn't even ask me. He says, well, I'm putting Craig into personnel. And so I became the player personnel coordinator there and then did that and then went over to Hamilton for 3 years. I was with BC for 8 years, Hamilton for three, obviously Saskatchewan for six, and 2 years with Winnipeg. And, of course, things are on hold right now, so who knows what's going to happen, and everything's up in the air. But you know, I had quite a career, and I'm very, very proud of what I did. And you know, I'll tell you something. You know, people out there, I mean, you like have your goals, but you know, one of my goals is to be a ballerina in ballet, that would be a stupid goal. You know, you need to have a goal that's you know, that you can and get and access you know. The biggest thing is a passion. Like, it's incredible. Like, I'm doing some work here, and I was doing some work just watching some film last night. You know, my wife DVDs stuff for me, so I was watching a bowl game, and I was looking at it, and all of a sudden it was lunchtime. The time just flew. It was, you know, a couple hours, and it's just a passion. And you know, when you have a passion, and you're very, very fortunate, and I've been fortunate for 19 years to be in the Canadian Football League, which is one of the best leagues. Gets, you know, bad rap a lot of times, and there's always, you know, there's problems here, problems there. But I'll tell you something, nobody realizes, and I've traveled, and I've gone to NFL. I've sailed to the NFL since 2003, and it's amazing the athletes that we get up, mm-hmm. up here, you know, down there. It's this guy is going to get cut or this guy. It's like a guy like G. Roy Simon. I remember G. Roy telling me that, well, it was Dante Hall or him. Mm-hmm. Dante Hall made it. G. Roy came up, and look at G. Roy was, you know, one of the best, the old GOAT. And, you know, we have amazing talent up here. And every year since I've done this, since 2000, 2001. Actually, Greg Munn sent me to do something in 2000 at one of the very first bowl, East-West bowl games. But the big thing is the Canadian kids are getting better and better every year, so it makes our Canadian Football League just a fantastic league. And it's so exciting with all these different venues, all the new stadiums, and then possibly the Atlantic team coming in. Man, it's just going to be so good.
Craig Smith joining us here from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, longtime CFL scout. And, of course, we talk about battling cancer. And if he attacks cancer like he attacks scouting, he'll kick its ass for sure. Okay, Craig, who's the best find for you? Who's the best player you've ever scouted and found for your whatever team you're working for?
Well, I think one of the guys is the Baron Simpson. It's really funny. This is really, really a funny thing because Adam threw me in and I have done kind of something like this for when I was a kid. I mean, I was always looking at rosters. I was always looking at players. I remember in 86, I was, I would go to Grey Cups and I'd see Cal Murphy in the airport and I'd go up and talk with him with players. Cal was kind of a mentor to me, for many years. But the 2001 got thrown into it, and you get tapes, and back then it's a hell of a lot different than what it is now, because mm-hmm. we would get these big cassette tapes. And so I got a cassette tape of Baron Simpson, and I watched the tape. It was a highlight tape, and I couldn't believe the plays this kid was making. He was making Ricky Williams, huge hits on Ricky Williams, knocking the heck out of him, and just a bunch of guys, in the SEC, and he was playing very well. So I went, wow, this kid is good. So I took it to Adam, and of course we signed him, and I think he's probably one of the better ones. I mean, I helped with Casey Printers. Again, I was on my fat butt, and I gave Obilovich a call, and I said, hey, listen, Casey Printers is not on an egg list, and I think actually Saskatchewan had taken him. I think Roy took him off, and mm-hmm. so we slapped him on, and of course, hey, Casey won the most outstanding player, and then went down to Kansas City, and yeah. things kind of went down from there. But I mean, I helped get G-Roy back to BC. I mean, that was not a big thing. He wanted to come here, and I just kept on, going at back after Brendan Iambadejo. I don't know if you remember him.
Yep, I do.
And he called and called and called and called, and I kept on, can we get this kid? Can we get this kid? And I'll never forget. I was down scouting. I think it was XFL. And I was sitting on my bed in the Ramada in Florida, and Brendan called me, and I said, I'm trying, Brendan, to get you up here, and eventually did. And of course, he had one hell of a career down in the NFL after mm-hmm. he came out for one of us. And of course, there's a lot of kids, that I've been involved with regards to the Canadian colleges that they've coming up, and Claremont was one of the guys that we got, and Javi Glatt, and there's that's a team thing, and the big thing is for me, I have never been the guy. I when I was in BC, Adam really gave me a lot where I could bring in guys, and I it's funny, I kind of concentrated on a lot of the University of Washington kids and Texas A&M kids for some reason, and got some of those kids up, and they did some good things, but you got to give credit to guys like Brendan Tammann, and because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And Corey Sheets, I saw him in training camp with Miami, and brought his name up, and our guys, we all got after him. And the funny thing is I saw Corey Sheets, and how it is, you look at guys and you think, shit, this guy could be pretty darn good in our league, but. Yeah. I would never have told you, that he would be the most valuable player in the Grey Cup,
it's Corey, amazing.
Of course, he sure did a hell of a job for us.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hey, just a couple more quick questions for you, Craig Smith, and
absolutely.
We're happy you took some time out of your hospital day to talk with us. And it's great to pick an expert's brain. I want to ask you this. You talked about the Canadian kid, and Canadian kids listening to this podcast. I'm a parent, and I want to get my kid exposed. What's the best way to go about doing that?
It depends on, what are you talking about? Is he a high school kid?
He's a high school kid, and I want to get him exposed to, see university, CM, or that type of thing. How do you get, because I find a lot of parents, my son's playing football in grade 10. There's a lot of parents now in grade 12. They don't know, they don't really have any guidance. They don't know where to go, who to contact, how to get tapes out, anything like that.
Well, there's a couple things, obviously it depends on the kid. If the kid is good, they're going to find the kid. Mm-hmm. Now, the other way is communicating with the universities. The Canadian college coaches right across, they're incredible, and they're definitely open. And, you know, when I was at UBC, Casey Smith was our head coach, and he passed away of cancer in 1998. One of the greatest football minds, you know, that I've been around. And, you know, I'd sit in his office, and people would just give Casey a call out of the blue, and Casey would take out a piece of paper that, you know, like a form with regards to kind of like a scouting form, and take all this information with regards to the guys, everything like height, okay, your height, weight, where are you from, what high school you're from, all these kind of things. You have tape, okay, send us the tape. So he'd have this information with regards to that, and then the tape would come in, and he'd look at the tape, and that's critical. And nowadays, the way it is, it's not a tape. I mean, you're sending video over email, and you can get it instantly. So you can get that information. And the big thing is for those kids to make sure that they put together something that is viewable. Make sure that you can see the numbers. Somehow get a really quality tape. Generally, when we would talk to players, you know, for the pros, we would say, well, what I would like is to see a highlight tape. What gives you really good highlights, and then a couple games to see what you're doing. Are you picking your nose if you're a receiver, and are you blocking on the other side, or you know what kind of effort, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is it's kind of stupid, but us idiots with the stopwatch, make sure you're practicing your 40s. Make sure you're doing your don't be going. You know, this is for high school. This is more for when you get up to us. But yeah. You know, make sure you're doing your short shuttle. Make sure you're practicing that stuff, because that indicator, and then that's only a guideline. And then obviously we marry it up with the tape. We marry it up with you know, game. You know, we'll go out to games and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But the big thing is exposure. You get it out to the college coaches. And make sure there's quality video, and what I think is a coach is going to find the kid, but it's important to make sure you get that really good information to those coaches. And like I said, right across, I've got obviously every college coach in Canada, I've got a great relationship with, and every one of those guys are just excellent people, and they're looking for players, and there's always a diamond in the rough.
Craig Smith, one last question for you. What do you think of our league? You talk about 10 teams now maybe, and you'll need more Canadians. Do we have enough Canadians in this league to support a 10th team? I've often thought it's our league, and the reason I started this podcast, we don't promote our own kids. Nothing against Americans. I've got a lot of American football players that are my friends. Dressler, you mentioned him. There's a couple guys like that. So I'm all for them coming up here and playing. But we're more likely to spend $80 watching a kid from Lakeland, Florida, than a guy in Lakewood, Regina. You know what I'm getting at there? So in terms of our Canadian talent, how do you see it developing? Do we have enough to support a 10th team? Could we look eventually at adding more Canadian starters to a roster?
It's really hard. That's an excellent question. I don't have an answer for that. All I know is that for a fact that every year there's better kids that are coming up. They're bigger, faster, stronger. It'll be very interesting to see with regards to what's going to happen with regards to another team and with that. One thing that really bothers me with regards to Canadian football is the lack of attendance coming to see a lot of these teams. Thank God for Brendan Tamman. He allowed me to go right across Canada to see games, and it's incredible the entertainment, the skill level of the Canadian kids. Now it's U Sport, it used to be CIS, but it's incredible. And I've seen so many great games that have been just fantastic. But people in Canada, I know that we're hockey, but there's a lot of darn good football. It'll be very interesting, though. You get that 10th team. I'm not sure that you can expand to go to more than seven, but there's a lot of kids that can come and start at special. And that's the other thing. It's all about development. You know, guys who have come in the first year, you know, they're wet behind their ears. You know, they're but then in year three, they develop into something pretty good. And some of those guys, they may never be starters, but it doesn't matter. They're doing some damn good things on special teams on our team, like a kid like Mike Miller. You know, I take him. He's one of the better special teams players in the league. And, you know, he's been here for a few years and he's developed. When you come in and you're thrown into a mix with a bunch of Americans, you know, on the Canadian Football League rosters, you're learning from those guys. You're learning to be a professional football player. And after a few years, it's either you're going to do it and you don't. And a lot of the guys, they do it, they develop, and then, you know, but it's all about development. You know, it's when they come in the first year, they may not be ready to really roll, but in a couple of years, that's a lot different story.
Hey, the number one position in any football league is your quarterback position. I think as an expert, you'd agree with me. So here's this: I've coached the young guys now. I've kind of been away from it from a couple of years, but I think we're suffering at the grassroots level because when a kid gets to a certain area, age, he doesn't want to play quarterback anymore because he knows there's no future for him in the game. So, for instance, Brad Sinopoli is a good quarterback, but he's a good receiver. And you know what? I'm going to choose to be a receiver. I'm not going to be a quarterback because I can't be a pro after a certain level. And I think it's going to start affecting, if it hasn't already, our grassroots football, because if a guy, you know, if I'm a good receiver and a good quarterback, why would I want to play quarterback if I have aspirations down the line? Where I'm going with this, Craig, is this. We've seen a lot of guys come up here, third-string quarterbacks that really haven't had a sniff. We've heard about their great college credentials in the States. They come up here, and quite honestly, they're hot garbage, okay? And we've got Canadian kids that we don't look at them because of their birth certificate, I feel. I want to know what your thoughts on this, because this Canadian quarterback thing's come up with Buckley and, of course, Brandon Bridge here in Regina. Do you think we should have that if he's playing quarterback, he should be designated a Canadian at the very least? And I don't know. I want to see this league look at developing Canadian quarterbacks, because there's a few guys at the university level that if they were given a chance could make a roster. And you know what? More fans in the seats, more people at the grassroots level saying, you know what? I'm going to play quarterback. It would just be good for the state of football.
Well, a couple things with regards to that. You know, many years ago, I was a quarterback. And I knew that I wasn't going to be a pro quarterback, but I love the position. I love playing that position of quarterback. So I played it because I loved it, not because I wanted to go play pro. But okay. But having said that, there are definitely kids. Like a couple of years ago, there was a kid that was he's a Regina kid. His name's Jordan Yance. Mm-hmm. He went and played at the University of Manitoba. I love the kid, and I really, really, and we almost brought him in when we were running into problems here, but he never did. But I truly believed in the kid, and I really thought he should have got a better chance. And I have no idea what happened, in his pro. But that's a kid that I think it should have had a chance. And I agree with you. But I don't think there's a ton of guys. I really don't. I think there are some guys, and there are definitely some guys that definitely should get a chance. And you know, like a kid like Yance, but And the other thing is you know, they're playing Canadian football, mm-hmm. you know, so they're dropping back and sight lines and you know, everything. So they're learning, but it's still a big jump to come to our league with speed and things like. I mean, it's not easy.
I just look at it. I use this guy as my template. Now, I'd use Noah Pickton, but he's really short, unfortunately for him. But the guy thinks the game at a next level. But a guy like Mason Nias up at the University of Saskatchewan, the kid can throw the ball all over the yard. I know he's still got lots of years of eligibility. I just think like a team like the Rough Riders, it would be so neat if you worked that guy out at training camp every year, develop him. You got a homegrown talent. You bring a guy like that onto your roster as a third-string quarterback, provided that he merits that spot. But if he's got the talent, think what that would do just from a business standpoint.
Absolutely. You know, that you know, good point. There's no doubt about that. And then there's the kid at UBC.
Yeah.
That kid that was at Penn State, and he comes up and he's done a good job. And then there's the kid at Western Ontario right now who just did such a great job in their run. Mm. You know, so there's definitely guys. I don't think that you could do a broad brush thing where you go, okay, let's every team have a Canadian quarterback. I'm not sure if you could do that,
right.
But I understand what you're saying. You know, it would be really good to have some Canadian kids. You know, if Russ Jackson didn't get an opportunity, there wouldn't be a Russ Jackson. And right. I'm old enough. I watched him. You know, he was unreal. Yeah. You know, so guys, they need an opportunity. But, you know, it's a tough nut to sell. There's no doubt about it. Tough nut to crack or whatever, because it's just the way it has been in our league. But, I could see that. I could see some of these kids trying to get an opportunity and see what develops, see what happens with regards to that.
Craig Smith joining us. Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, man. We're pulling for you. We know you're going to kick cancer's ass.
One thing I have to say is, you know, I went to see Stephen Bryce out at University of Regina, and I had to wait in the hall.
Yeah.
And I was looking at all those pictures of, and I saw your face in a few of them. I was pretty impressed.
Oh.
Obviously you didn't have the size. I bet you your heart was as big as the world.
But when I played, Craig, they weren't looking for Weston wrestlers back then, unfortunately. Hey, thanks for this, and I appreciate it, okay?
Absolutely. Have a great Christmas.
Yeah, you too, Matt. And the Growing the Game podcast with me, Ballsy, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair, located at 2330 7th Avenue. Thanks to Alan Mann and Joe Cardiff and the gang over there for supporting grassroots football in Saskatchewan, for supporting the community at large. They helped me out this year with my Good Crap for Christmas toilet, raising money for the Sophia House, as they gave a $2,000 donation. A couple of good community-minded guys there. They give back for sure. Hey, want to wish you a Merry Christmas from my family to yours, and look forward to talking to you with our end of the year Growing the Game podcast next week.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.